sifter.com.au.
Hey there, welcome to Drop Rate Speedrun. My name is Gianni Di Giovanni. This week, we're looking at The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion Remastered. Has the game held up over the last 20 years? Well, we'll find out. Before we get into that, let's find out what's been making news this week on Walkthrough, Sifter's weekly news podcast.
Hi, I'm Kyle Paletto.
And I'm Fiona Bartholomaeus.
And here are the top stories this week on Walkthrough, Sifter's weekly news podcast for Sunday, 27th of April.
Australian game Cult of the Lamb tops the list for Devolver Digital, full numbers revealed.
That rumoured Oblivion remake, well, yep, it's out right now, and we've got all the details for you.
Multiplayer Control spin-off FVC Firebreak gets a release date, and it's pretty soon.
And tariffs mean that small emulation handhelds like Ambernic aren't being shipped to the US anymore.
You can get every episode of Walkthrough for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or on our website sifter.com.au every Sunday.
Join the Sifter community on Discord at sifter.com.au/Discord.
I remember distinctly the day my brother and I went into Kmart to pick up our Xbox 360 in 2006. We had saved up our money and we split the console price 50-50. There was really only one game that anyone was buying when picking up Microsoft's successor console, and that was The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion. We were big Morrowind fans and the new graphics and open world felt revelatory. You get a horse! The horse was a massive deal. No longer did you need to mass transit your way around the world, jumping from location to location with silk striders or teleportation, pick a direction and just go. That was before armor was even in the question when it came to horses. The adventure was formative. It was janky, broken in often completely hilarious ways. The game would crash a lot. But hundreds and hundreds of hours for both of us went by in a moment. We knew there was going to be a remake in the works when it leaked all over Reddit. But now, The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion Remastered is here. It's better than I remembered, but it's also aged a bit more than I remembered. And Virtuos have done a great job reviving a 20-year-old title. I don't expect I need to tell you exactly what a Bethesda role-playing game is. It's an open-world adventure that rewards you just wandering off in any direction. Way before Breath of the Wild, these games were all about getting distracted along the way. The map is absolutely packed with waypoints, hundreds of them. You're not going to need to find them all and work your way through them, though you totally could if you wanted to. Buried in out-of-the-way places are often hidden bits of gear that end up being incredibly powerful. You can really play any style of character you want, but you aren't going to get away from fighting. There's quite a lot of it, really, so make sure you pick at least one major speciality and lean into that, because each skill used ends up leveling up your abilities and your character. Shoot a lot of arrows, you get better at shooting arrows. Buy and sell a lot of fantasy doodads, you get better at buying and selling. This, in turn, will level your character up. Each skill trained will push up your overall experience bar. Hit the top, and then you need to find a bed to hit the next level. And if you don't, you'll just be missing out on stat boosts. Of course, like every Elder Scrolls game I've ever played, I went for the classic Stealth Archer TM. I found a nice early ring, which gave me a passive chameleon ability, which helped me blend into my surroundings. Crouch, crouch, arrow, arrow, rinse and repeat. It's incredibly powerful, and the 3x multiplier on damage often means you're taking down enemies before they can even accuse you of being weaker than a mud crab. Amateurs. It's still such a solid system. It works all these years later. Drop a few points into strength when you level up, and you'll be a crouching loot bag of destruction. Enemies level along with you, so you're always facing appropriate foes. I went directly along the main path to Kvatch, the town that first introduced you to the concept of Oblivion Gates in the overworld, but I didn't complete that quest because I got distracted. Classic. When I returned at level 10, there were flame Atronachs everywhere. Sorry, NPCs, you aren't making it through this one. Let me give you a really good example of why you can really just go do whatever you want. I was exploring one of the Oblivion Plain mini dungeons and got lost in labyrinthine tunnels twisting through the ground. I was supposed to use the tunnels to ascend a mountain where the final tower was located. At the top was a sigil stone which held the realm together, and when I claimed it, it would collapse and I'd be catapulted back into Cyrodiil. Except, I kept getting lost. I tried hugging the wall, I tried using fallen enemies as breadcrumbs, I kept searching and never seemed to ascend any higher. So I said, stuff it, let's just jump up this mountain. I could see the tower above me. I turned my back to the cliff face and bounced rapidly up the molten stone and rocky cliffs. I'd been bounding across the land, building my athletic skills, so my jump was pretty impressive. I scaled the outside of this dungeon puzzle just using the environment and the abilities I've been training the whole time. Made it to the base of the tower, and it was a quick jaunt to the top, and I made short work of the Sigil Stone Collection adventure. Don't follow the path, make your own. Want to crawl along the roof of an alien ruin, sniping people from above? Do it! It's one aspect of this game that still holds up so brilliantly. It's just fun to feel like you're breaking the rules, and Oblivion gives you more and more tools to do so as you go along. There's actually much more opportunity in this game to find your way just because it doesn't waypoint you to your next quest step nearly as extensively as current games do. You'll probably spend a bit of time just wandering around, looking for the right person or right location, and it just made me think how much we've simplified and streamlined games over the last 20 years, for better and for worse. It wouldn't be fair not to mention how much this game tends to crash. It'll be a familiar feeling for the old school Oblivion fans, I'm sure. One incredible modern solution has been added though. The game takes just about every single opportunity it can to autosave for you. I distinctly remember losing hours of progress because the game decided to cark it. Luckily, this time around, you're back in pretty quickly, usually only a single room away from where you were. This game really is a hybrid of older and new styles of game design. It feels downright archaic to shoot bows in this game, and that's what I choose to do most of the time. Bows are incredibly slow to draw. They seem to have a slight delay on the release as well. There's no printed manual, so it took me a while to work out how to barter for better prices in stores. Same goes for recharging my magical items. More than one quest NPC just bugged entirely, stuck in a loop of their dialogue, unwilling to move through to the next stage. Sometimes it's easier just to kill them and move on, and that's not always an option, and you can also lock yourself out of some good equipment later. There is better NPC pathing in AI, but it's still a bit funny. I saw two guards in one town just walking into each other, unable to path around, in classic Oblivion style. Part of me wonders if these little bits and pieces were left in there just for the procedural humor it creates, but they can feel free to remove the crashes in an update. It's still an incredible game all these years on. The world is packed with so many named NPCs and weirdos. Even though most of them share the same voice actors, it's almost like you're walking onto a stage with a group of thespians taking on different roles as you travel through. Skyrim will always be the biggest sibling in this series, but so much of the foundation for subsequent Bethesda open-world RPGs were set in this game. If you're playing on PC as I am, there isn't anything stopping you from loading up the original version of the game. There are even two decades of quality of life and graphic improvement mods to make your own modern reimagining. But if you can't be bothered mucking around with load orders and mod managers, then this version is for you, updating just about everything you'd need for your journey back into Cyrodiil. Do yourself a favor, if you have any nostalgia for this particular game, at least try it out on Xbox Game Pass. You might find you just lose hours of your life, just like my brother and I did way back in 2006. Did you know that the original Final Fantasy creator, Hironobu Sakaguchi, made a spiritual successor to that legendary series called Fantasian for Apple Arcade, and every level in the game is a handmade, physical miniature model? Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a 1-month free trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. This offer is for new subscribers only, $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.
Sit down for a chat with your pals in video games.
You're listening to Sifter.
This has been Drop Rate Speedrun by Sifter. My name is Gianni DiGiovanni. Thank you so much for listening. A copy of The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion Remastered on PC was provided to Sifter for the purpose of this review. You can read a full written version and look at some of those incredible screenshots because it looks gorgeous on our website. You'll find a link to that in the show notes or just head to sifter.com.au. Sifter is produced by Fiona Bartholomaeus, Kyle Paletto, Adam Christou, Courtney Smith, Chris Button, Kat Jarn. Mitch Lowe is senior producer, and this episode was recorded, scripted, and edited by me, Gianni DiGiovanni. I'm Sifter's executive producer. Thanks to Brian Fairbanks from Salty Dog Sounds for composing the Drop Rate theme tune, Audio Technica Australia, and Apple for their support of Sifter's podcasts. We'll be back with another episode of Drop Rate soon. Until next time, have fun. Hey there, Gianni here on the latest episode of Lightmap Sifter's interview podcast. Matt Newell, the developer of Lush Foil Photography Simulator, joins me to share about how the environments in this game were the genesis of this whole project.
It is a photography simulator, sort of inspired by my interests and the photography that I've done. At its core, it's about the environments. Like, I've really tried to just recreate a lot of places from around the world in lots of detail and tried to keep them authentic and tried to give the game a rich atmosphere. So be out there on your own, just like not have a true goal aside from get from A to B. So I think I do want to kind of promote like the enjoyment you get from just being immersed in where you are and just like wandering around.
You can get every episode of Lightmap for free on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on YouTube. Head to our website, sifter.com.au, or wherever you'd like to listen.